Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Are you ready for a trade deadline, Dud Keefe?
Oh, I thought the deadline was today.
Nope.
I thought the deadline was 4 o'clock today.
No.
Oh. So what?
They didn't do anything.
No.
They didn't do anything. Maybe they also thought it was today?
They didn't do it. The whole league was doing
the
stuff.
The league
just
was
about.
Making moves. There were big-time players getting traded yesterday.
Yep.
Big time, small time, medium time players all getting traded. Draft picks flying around. And they sat on their hands and did nothing.
Well, let's be fair.
They did nothing.
They actually sold the week before.
Yeah, they actually did do something, and they got rid of two players.
Like, even the Red Sox are smart enough to fake buy.
Oh, yeah. They're like, here's a player.
Even the Red Sox are smart enough to get idiots like me to be like, Steven Matz?
Dustin May?
Dustin May? Like, just to sucker in morons like me.
Yeah.
Even the Red Sox are smart enough to give you that. Like, a little bit of something to just look at it and go, well, they did technically add to their team. Unlike this team yesterday.
They subtracted.
Which added nothing, subtracted the week before, probably was more interested in subtracting more yesterday, trading away Anfernee Jennings, than adding anybody. And look, I still think they're a good team independent of doing anything.
Right, right.
I just wish they added some depth in case of injury, and I wish they added a player that could have raised their ceiling, because I think the window is wide open to compete for a Super Bowl this year, maybe win a Super Bowl this year. And apparently they disagree, and that's frustrating.
Yeah, it's super frustrating because this team is ahead of schedule. Like, they are a lot better now than I think anybody would have anticipated, and the rest of the AFC is, like, closer to you than we could have anticipated. And so nobody was screaming about, oh, you got to go out there and get Sauce Gardner or Quinnen Williams, right? The two best players that got traded yesterday.
No.
By the Jets, like, and you trading multiple first-round picks, that wasn't going to happen. Nobody's asking for that. But there's a big difference between trading, you know, number one draft picks and then also doing nothing. There's a huge middle ground. You have all these other rounds. You added picks. And dumb me, I thought part of the Keon White and Kyle Duggar trades last week were to sort of get all your kind of draft capital lined up so you could make moves yesterday and sort of add depth pieces. The roster is better than we thought it was going to be, but it's obviously not perfect. And whether you think they need, you know, a starting running back, a depth running back, a depth pass rusher, a depth safety, a linebacker, whatever. Like, you could make an argument for a lot of different positions on the team, and they decided to do nothing. And that is very frustrating. Yesterday was the time to do it. I'm not interested in somebody else's practice squad cast off. I wanted somebody that you could bring in and help the team.
Well, looking at the text line and Twitch chat, people are, oh, what? We're going to spend more time on this. What'd you want him to do?
I wanted to make moves.
No one wanted to trade with him. You know,
I don't know about that.
Giardi yesterday said Amy Adams Strunk, and I believe this. Amy Adams Strunk didn't want to trade anybody to Mike Vrabel, didn't want to help Vrabel.
Okay, fine. So
I'm
going to cross the Titans off because they're petty.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, fine. The Titans didn't want to trade with you. I also believe, and I don't think it's smart business, But I believe that the Dolphins and Jets didn't necessarily want to trade with you. Russini, your girl, had a tweet about this yesterday where she's like, other AFC East teams called the Dolphins and the Jets. I'm assuming that's the Patriots. It's Patriots or the Bills. And they didn't want to deal within the division. Okay, fine. I believe that too. I don't think that's good business for those teams, but I believe both those things. I don't think it's unique that teams in your division don't want to trade with you. I think that's a problem every team has probably every single year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Titans, fine, cross one team off the list. Players on other teams moved. And this is what I find unsatisfactory about that excuse and why I think it's an excuse. Jacoby Myers isn't a Titan. He's not a Jet or a Dolphin.
No.
You could have had him.
Yeah.
Raheed Shaheed, not a Titan or a Dolphin or a Jet. He moved. You could have had him. Logan Wilson, the first trade of the day or late night trade the night prior, got dealt from the Bengals to the Cowboys. He's not on any of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
So guys moved. Never mind, you can always sweeten the pot and throw more in and make it worth their while to make a trade. Trades in the division do happen. You've traded with the Jets before. You've traded with the Dolphins before. So it does happen. And I think it's exactly that. It's just an excuse to save face because they know they didn't do anything. And even worse than not doing anything, they sold. And I just find that so unsatisfactory in a year where I think, again, the AFC is wide open. And to not deviate from your plan. The plan you came up with when, what, we'd be happy with 9 wins in the playoffs? We'd be ecstatic about 10 wins in the playoffs? And you're ahead of schedule. You're doing great. You guys are onto something. I acknowledge all those things.
Yeah.
But this idea that we can't deviate from our plan that we came up with in April, why not?
I don't get it.
A sixth-round pick and a rental player or a fourth-round pick and a rental player, that is not going to change the overall trajectory. You're not ruining your future, mortgaging your future to be all in this year. We're talking about like a fourth or a fifth or maybe a sixth round pick. That is not mortgaging anything to try to win this year and reward your team, reward your fans, reward yourselves for being ahead of schedule and not being willing to deviate from that or alter your thinking in any way, shape, or form. To me is really, really, really frustrating and annoying.
I would have been mad about it, but not as mad if they even just kept Keon White and Kyle Duggar, because then you'd be like, well, they didn't sell. They just kind of stood pat, and they sort of took their team. They either didn't, you know, maybe the asking prices were too high, or maybe they just felt good with the group and they moved on. But the fact that you peeled off a couple of players, and I know those they weren't starters, don't get me wrong. I know they weren't the best fit, and neither you or I even really liked them. But you're swapping those guys out for practice squad guys. That seems like you're taking away from the team. And then you have a week to go for the deadline. And it's probably not the same thing as like the baseball deadline where there are 100 moves and every team that's contending is like, all right, who did we add? Who did we add? And you see every team around you add, you know, relief pitchers or in the case of the Mariners, two big bats. Like, it's not like that. But still, you knew you had a few days to add to the team and also show some belief in the team too. And you choose not to do it. And we've seen already this year, they've been relatively fortunate, I would say, injury-wise, where their depth hasn't been tested.
It started to pile up a touch.
It has.
Stevenson, Booty, even our guy Christian Ellis. The only real injury they've dealt with this year, and it was a significant one, was Gonzo to start the year.
Yeah, Gonzo to start, and now he's back. And you know what you saw then? You saw Alex Austin in coverage, and it didn't go great.
Nope.
So you understand how important depth is, and then so Antonio Gibson goes down. And then Ramondre Stevenson goes down. And now, you know, all due respect to him, Terrell Jennings is getting carries. Is that what you want? Like, if you're making a playoff push, you want Terrell Jennings getting carries? You saw last week, Kayshon Booty leaves the game. Now Kyle Williams is getting 31 snaps where he's invisible. Like, I think already you've seen how, like, you're not going to have 100% health all season long. You're going to miss a guy or two and maybe even more as the season unfolds. Are you prepared right now to replace those guys? I don't really think so. You're kind of walking a tightrope as you've been a little bit more healthy than some of these other teams in the AFC. And you had a chance yesterday to sort of bolster that a little bit with a wideout, with a running back, pick a spot on defense. So I was definitely let down.
Here's your safety room right now, just as an example. And you've subtracted two from there. You cut Peppers early. You traded Kyle Duggar last week to Pittsburgh. And again, I don't really miss either one per se, but I might if Jalen Hawkins or Craig Woodson, our guy, the eraser, winds up getting hurt. Your other safeties, Del Pettis, who actually made a play in the game on Sunday.
He made a play, yeah.
John Saunders, who Ted was texting me about, like, get ready for this kid. It's another guy they added. He was a healthy scratch this past weekend. And Brendan Schooler, who's a special teamer, maybe gets out there in the Longhorn package from time to time.
He was a menace last year in the Longhorn
That's
package.
Your safety room right yeah. now. So you subtracted from that room. Edge rusher, I like what they've gotten so far out of Harold Landry. I didn't talk a lot about that signing when they made it. He's been great.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely didn't talk about Kalavon Chase, and we barely even mentioned his name. He's been awesome.
Well, no, we talked about him a lot in camp because he was so good.
Flashing.
But we kept saying, like, is this going to last? And, well, to his credit, it has.
So, okay, those two guys have been great.
Yeah.
After that, you do still have Anfernee Jennings. At least they didn't subtract him. Right. And then we're talking about Caleb Murphy, who they just claimed, Elijah Ponder, maybe Tavai mixes in there. Like, he's more off the line.
Yeah, I don't know.
So this is what I'm saying. You could have bolstered your depth. Mm-hmm. You could have raised your ceiling. And you didn't. Instead, you subtracted from your depth, which to me is frustrating. And not everybody improved. The Chiefs did nothing, right? The Bills did nothing. So not everybody improved. But the Colts did. That's a team you could be duking it out for a bye week with. Like, that's a team. The number one seed in the AFC could have shifted yesterday. I don't think this is overly dramatic. It could have shifted yesterday because the Colts were willing to part with two first-round picks, which the Patriots didn't need to do. I wasn't demanding they trade two first-rounders. But they decided to do that to go all in on this year. And the one seed may have shifted yesterday. Let's see. Because they got Sauce Gardner and you sat on your hands. The Jaguars, you might get them now in the postseason. In fact, I think it's lined up for that. If the season ended today, I think you're playing the Jaguars on Wild Card Weekend.
Yeah, the Jags.
And they
old buddy Jacoby Myers.
That game just got more difficult because they made a trade for Jacoby Myers.
Right.
So,
and they didn't sacrifice their future. They didn't do anything crazy. They're not up against it. You can trade a fourth and a sixth round pick to help your team this year. You know, how much is the fourth and the sixth round pick next year going to help the team next year?
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's one of those things where, it's a lottery ticket. You might hit on somebody.
I don't want to be inconsistent. Like, both you and I yesterday, when we saw the asking price on Jacoby Myers, we were like, nah, I wouldn't have done that. But I just used him as a point to illustrate. It wasn't all Titans and Dolphins and Jets. But there were other teams that traded guys that were willing to talk to you.
Yep.
There were probably other players on the Raiders you could have asked about. It wasn't just Jacoby Myers. You could have asked about other guys. And so to me, that's annoying. And it's frustrating. And let's see where it goes from here, starting with the game on Sunday against Tampa. The other thing that I don't like, beyond the Russini excuse-making, beyond the excuse-making to Giardi, and this isn't his excuse-making, but, you know, it was passed along to him that the Titans didn't want to deal with the Pats. Fine. Is this Commanders' excuse? Like, you don't want to be the Commanders has really started to bother me.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
I've heard it a bunch of different places. You know where it's coming from. It's coming from the team, maybe ownership, maybe the front office, but it's coming from the team, maybe the coaching staff. I don't know. But it's coming from them, clearly. We've heard it multiple places. Breer, Bedard, they puke it up everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't get why being the Commanders is such a bad thing. They were in the conference championship game last year. I think if the Patriots go to the conference championship game, that's not the ultimate goal, but that's a pretty great season. If they're in the AFC title game and they lose to Mahomes or something like that, I think that's a pretty worthy season and a reason to make a deal, which the Commanders did last year for Lattimore. They probably overpaid. He's now hurt. In the offseason, they doubled down and traded for Debo, fifth-round pick. They traded for Tunsil, who's been good, and their quarterback got hurt. I don't think the Commanders upended their future, drastically altered their future, changed their long-term outlook because they traded some day three picks. I think the reason that their short-term outlook is upended, and maybe long-term if the injuries continue, is their quarterback got hurt.
Yeah.
But if you can keep Drake May healthy, and I'm less worried about that than a lot of the nanas are out there about him running around, if you can keep Drake May healthy, you can part with your day three picks and it won't come back to bite you, I promise.
Yeah, I just don't really understand the argument against adding, you know, because you're way under the salary cap if you even want to play that game. That's not something that we really highlight a lot because we assume if you want to make a move, you can make it. But if you want to play that game out, right? And it's funny because Vrabel even made that comment when he's talking on the morning show about, like, hey, you know, there's no such thing as an easy schedule because everybody pays money in the league. Everybody has a salary cap. It's like, all right, well, some do pay more than others. You have a ton of flexibility there. You even peeled off a couple pieces a week before to sort of take a look at what your entire roster is and then see, all right, what holes need to be filled. And you're by no means a like perfect roster. You can always tinker to it. I thought maybe they would because, again, similar to your guy Breslow, who had a good offseason and then a bad trade deadline, because they had the good offseason, like they identified a lot of good players in the offseason. I know it's apples to oranges, but like in free agency, they went out there, they found guys that they liked, and they brought them in. You're like, okay, good. Now it's the deadline, so it's a little bit different. You have to entice teams with draft picks and whatever else. But I thought because they have so many different guys in their front office and on their coaching staff that have been around the league, I thought there'd be like direct lines to certain players that they wanted and they would make trades for and be like, all right, this guy we know can come in here and help us out. I coached him 4 years ago or whatever. Like I thought there would be somebody there, and it might not be somebody that everybody's heard of and like, you know, like a household name, but somebody that would shore up the depth, somebody that maybe makes a big play or two between now and the end of the year. But instead, they do nothing. So it's just, it was frustrating. I thought yesterday was an opportunity to make the team better, and they didn't do it.
Yeah. So to me, look, I see some of the Twitch chat discussing, what did all these teams do? Why did other teams make these moves? And I get all that. I also see people saying, I was talking up the Texans a couple of years ago and their approach. And crickets since. The Texans won double-digit games back-to-back years. They won a playoff game in two straight years. Yeah. I don't think it was crickets at all. They're down this year. Yeah. But I think the Texans had a good approach. And by the way, you kind of echoed what they did. They got their quarterback and everything turned. That's almost exactly what I said 2 years ago about them.
As long as they don't trade Will Campbell in the next 2 years, because that's what the Texans did.
Yeah, that's true. You don't want that.
My plan with the Texans was you could get your quarterback and cash in immediately and start him from day one and be a good team. I honestly think if they started Drake May earlier last year, they'd be in way better shape, but whatever. Neither here nor there. You look at some of the moves that happen around the league, and I don't think – this is another thing that came up in the Twitch chat. I don't disagree or agree, rather, with Brian Hoyer. I guess he said this yesterday, that if you make a trade, you send a message to your team that you're not good enough. Do you buy that?
Like, heard that.
I actually look at it the complete opposite way. Say the team looks at us and we look at our front office and they don't think we're good enough because they didn't invest in us.
Wow.
I think it's the complete opposite of that Brian Hoyer, who's been in a locker room.
Sure
I get
has.
That.
Oh, yeah.
Been in way more locker rooms than me.
That's right.
I also think might be a little biased towards this organization. So I try to look somewhere in between those two things.
Credit to him for a unique take because – you remember like Kenley Jansen and like Devers and all those guys when they were here and the Red Sox did nothing and they like Alex Cora. Do you think they thought that was a good sign?
When you make a trade, the team looks at it and goes, we weren't good enough.
So why does every good team in like baseball and hockey always make deals at the deadline?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I appreciate the...
I guess afternoons we'll have to ask them about it, or maybe we could talk to Brian.
I like
about
the
it.
Uniqueness of the take, but it's a horrible one. It's like we maybe do worst take of the week. That could be a new one. We have the brag of the week. Maybe worst take of the week.
Worst take of the week.
Brian Hoyer.
Make trades and your team panics.
People that's are like, wait a minute. They don't think we're good.
That's like, what people were saying about Breslow, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When Breslow makes no trades, people are like, yeah, good for you. Now the team knows you believe in them. That's what people say.
When the Packers traded for Micah Parsons, I remember they were like, what? You don't think we can get after them?
You don't believe in us?
You don't believe in us?
What?
They laid down and died.
Hilarious.
Like, we can't do it.
So anyway, how you feeling about the trade deadline? Do you think we're overreacting? I know some of you
do. When the Celtics added Kevin Garnett, I remember they went into like a little ball. They're like, we're good enough to win as is?
I just love it. If the Patriots made a trade yesterday, you guys all would have been mad at them, right?
Yeah.
That's what you would have been. You would have been like, why are you adding talent to this team?
Now, to be fair, Hoyer is the guy that predicted anywhere between 7 and 11 wins at the beginning of the year.
It's amazing. It's amazing he predicted a 4-win range.
And he's going to miss.
He's still going to be wrong.
It's going to be
12. They're going to win more than the range he gave you. Honestly an incredible trick.
Yeah.
That's very impressive.
Get him next time.
617-779-7937. Your thoughts on the trade deadline. How would you grade it? And I guess this is a debate. Was that yesterday a sign that they believe in the team or don't believe in the
Maybe
team?
They do. Total should be somewhere between 8 and 11 games.
Oh, 8 and 11. Oh, my bad. 8 and 11. 8,
it's probably
9,
gonna be,
10,
probably
11.
Going to be 12.
So, yeah, 4
Maybe
games.
13. Yeah, we didn't even get the range right. We'll get to all your feedback here coming up. Plus, why do the Patriots need to worry about the rest of the AFC? We can get into that. We got Bruins thoughts. We got Pure Hoops with Terp. At High Noon, we have actually a random BC thought. Bill O'Brien had a good rant.
Bill O'Brien's been running hot here the last few weeks because his team's trash, and he is now getting mad.
He's full on that's what they used to call him, right? Teapot?
Oh, Teapot. Yeah,
he's gone full on Teapot. We got Would You Rathers on a Would You Rather Wednesday. We have the hashtag Dork Minute. Plus, Mike Vrabel live out. A lot on the show today.
This is a jam-packed show.
Real jam-packed.
Go nowhere.
So let's get to the AFC playoff picture right after Trending with Billy.
ESPN's Adam Schefter joins WEEI Afternoons every Wednesday at 3:45. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. The Boston Bruins are now winners of four in a row after last night's 4-3 shootout win over the Islanders in New York. Murat Kuznetsov tied the game at 3 with 4:54 left in regulation. It would go on to net the game winner for the Bees in the shootout. Up next, the Bruins return home to host the Ottawa Senators tomorrow night. Tonight, the Boston Celtics look to avoid a three-game losing streak when the Seas welcome the Washington Wizards to the TD Garden. Washington is currently on a five-game losing streak. Tip-off from the Garden is at 7:30. After signing wide receiver Brendan Rice to the practice squad yesterday, it was a quiet trade deadline day for the New England Patriots. Pats return to the practice field today at 2 o'clock. Head coach Mike Vrabel will meet with the media today at 1. You can catch that press conference right here on 93.7. This Sunday, the Patriots will be in Tampa Bay taking on the 6-2 Buccaneers. And according to multiple reports, Boston Red Sox shortstop Trevor Story will not opt out of his contract and will return to the Red Sox. Story has 2 years and $55 million left on his current deal. Homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
The Hogman was hot, Keith.
Hog fired up, not just a baseball guy.
Oh, very versatile.
Get you a guy who can do both. Seriously.
He was mad. He was big hot.
He went Leon the Professional with it, with no one.
He was real upset. Now, I hate to critique an artist.
How dare you? What are you going to say?
I think his anger is a little misplaced. Wouldn't.
I don't think.
I wouldn't. Yeah.
This is what's easy, though, because
what
everybody
did he
likes
call Rabel. Elliot Wolf again? A soy boy?
Soy boy. Somebody had to bleep it, I think. But yeah, he's not a big fan of Elliot Wolf, but Hogg.
Elliot Wolf, you are a pathetic soy boy loser.
Yeah, so I told you, most of it was bleeped. But yeah, you can't blame him.
Ow.
We're not giving him any credit, right?
Oh, that was good, though. That had a good rant. I like piling on Elliot Wolf. I just think your anger is slightly misplaced, but I like it.
Nothing to do with Elliot Wolf. We joke around how all the fake GMs around the league are all probably on a group chat talking about what they would like to do, but they aren't allowed to do. So, yeah, I'm not blaming Elliot Wolf for this one. This is more of a Vrabel, Stretch, Cowden, maybe even Kraft, although who knows if it even got to that level, right? Because I don't think yesterday was about bringing in a lot of money. It would have been about bringing in, giving up picks and how many picks, how high in the draft you want
to
go.
I tend to think this was more football absent ownership. Yeah, maybe that's naive, but I'll be consistent on this.
Well, because I don't think they were in on Sauce Gardner, Quinn and Williams. Those are ownership
100%.
Moves.
Yeah. And by the way, the Twitch chat again, I guess they didn't want the Patriots to add anything, and that's fine. I guess if the Patriots made a trade yesterday, you guys would have called and been angry at the Patriots and booed the team for making a move. I'm sure that's what you guys would have done, totally. You wouldn't have been stoked and excited that the team added anybody. You guys didn't want it's a perfect roster, and you guys don't want them to add to the roster. And by the way, don't hear what I'm not saying. I want them to go on a run. I think they can go on a run as currently constituted. I'm not telling you they're screwed.
No, they're not, because
I just think they could have helped themselves yesterday, and they did not. But I didn't want to do the Sauce Gardner move. I didn't want them to trade two first-round picks.
No.
I think that is just – people are being willfully ignorant on that and saying, oh, well, what'd you want them to do, trade for Sauce Gardner? No.
No.
I didn't want him to trade for Quinn and Williams either. Those are good players. I wasn't asking for that. I was asking to move a fourth rounder for somebody who you thought could help. Or, heaven forbid, Jalen Phillips. Giardi just had this right when we were going to break. Not that it matters at this juncture, but per league sources, the Patriots were definitely in the Jalen Phillips trade market. He went for a third to Philly a day before the trade deadline. So, okay, I'm looking at the picks right now. You have a higher pick than Philly. It's a one-pick difference. You'd be picking 30 as of today. Philly would be picking 31. So maybe they look at it and say, well, it's a better pick. I'd expect the Eagles to go on a deeper run than the Pats, but we don't want to trade in the division. So sweeten the pot. Third to seventh.
Sweeten it.
Sweeten
it up.
Something like that, to me, is not...
That's what they're for. Those are the seventh-round picks. Those are usually sweeteners.
That doesn't change your outlook on the future, and it helps you this year.
Yeah.
And so, to me,
they have a pile of picks.
They do. They have 4 6-rounders.
Yeah.
Four.
Ridiculous.
So, what do you need all those six? Throw an extra sixth rounder in there on top of your third rounder to get a pass rusher who could help in Jalen Phillips. Why is that, fake outrage, as the Twitch chat is saying, about a trade? Other team, the Eagles made three trades. Teams in the AFC, including the only team with a better, higher seed than you right now, the Colts, made moves yesterday.
Yeah.
So I didn't need them to trade first round picks or even second round picks, but a late day two. Or, a day three pick, I don't think that's asking them to part with much. And I'm with the Hogman. I'm frustrated.
Yeah, and it's also not some of those other teams, and I hate this mentality when it comes to baseball as far as waiting for your injured guys to come back. But the Patriots have been pretty healthy, whereas a team like the Chiefs, you mentioned how they didn't make any moves.
Nope.
Well, they didn't have Rashee Rice for the whole season, and now they have Rashee Rice. So that is somebody that when they were kind of struggling early, you didn't have him, you add him, he's now the best receiver on the team. So,
and that's better than getting, Chris Sale back, as Sox would say.
Yeah. So I don't want to contradict myself, but I'm just saying for some of those teams, they have those guys that are there. Whereas the Patriots, it's Antonio Gibson's on the shelf for the year. Stevenson will be back, but he's played every game until last week. They just had a lot of areas where they could have shored up the depth a little bit. And they didn't do it. So we'll see as the season goes how much, if at all, that comes back to bite them. It doesn't eliminate them. We had them on the top tier yesterday, which might have been a little optimistic, but their schedule going forward didn't exactly get much, much more difficult. It's still that schedule in front of you where you have three really kind of signature tough games, the rest of them less so. I just thought, it's the trade deadline. It's an opportunity to, one last time in season to bolster your roster.
Yeah.
Didn't do it. We said yesterday at this time we wanted them to do something. 24 hours later, they didn't, so I'm not going to then say, well, it's fine.
Me neither. And by the way, the Colts didn't do anything. The Bills didn't do anything. Well, yeah, they didn't add. They also didn't subtract. You subtracted.
You bailed on two guys.
You ditched off two players who you had just paid recently, at least in the case of Duggar, not both of them, but in the case of Duggar, you had just paid.
Yeah.
You threw a bunch of money at him, and you gave him away at the trade deadline. So those teams at least didn't subtract. They didn't add. You subtracted, which I find outrageous. 617-779-7937. Good text here. Guys, be serious. Which is a better way to build a team? Through the draft or trading for players? What? I think you want to build through the draft, which is why I wouldn't be giving up my first rounder or my second rounder.
But I don't think a lot of teams
But you
go
can't
in,
trade like a sixth?
Yeah, I don't think teams really build through the sixth. They get like a lottery ticket that greatest of all time Tom Brady turns into, or it's just year after year of guys that like don't even make the league after their first contract or whatever. So I don't think you really build it that way. Yeah, we would identify first-round pick. None of us said trade the first-round pick. I don't think a single person here was like saying they should deal their first-round pick. All of a sudden, they've gone on a little bit of a heater with their first-round pick.
I haven't heard anyone say they should have given up two first-rounders for Sauce Gardner or a first-rounder for Quinnen Williams. I haven't even heard that.
Even a two? I don't think anybody's trying to trade a two. If it was a third for Jalen Phillips, yes, I would have done that.
That's about the highest I've heard. Yeah. Maybe some people wanted to trade a fourth and a sixth for Jacoby. No one was breaking the bank. But no one was changing their outlook long-term by trading some late day two or day three picks.
But there was no running backs at all available for like a fifth or a sixth round pick. I find that hard to believe.
So remind me again, Hogdale runs a little hot. What'd he say again?
He burns hot, yeah.
Elliot Wolf, you are a pathetic soy boy loser.
Okay.
Don't blame him. Don't blame him.
I think his anger's a little miscast, but I like it. Benjamin Solak, are you familiar with his work?
He is ESPN.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wears sunglasses, likes long pauses. Benjamin Solak.
Solak.
Has the Patriots as a deadline loser. And he's a little more rational.
A loser?
I would say he's a little more rational than, no offense, Hog, but he's just, okay. he's not going to run around.
Holy
shit.
He didn't write that in there?
That's not his style. Yeah, okay. Yeah. He says of all the teams that stood pat, again, they didn't stand pat, they subtracted, at the trade deadline, notables such as Tampa, Denver, Pittsburgh, the Patriots are the team that surprised and disappointed me most. The Colts' decision to get aggressive in acquiring a blue-chip player is defensible but controversial. And they paid a lot. If the Patriots, who look like a legitimate AFC contender with an MVP quarterback playing on a rookie contract, took a similar leap, it would be universally cheered. I agree, especially from all the people in the Twitch chat. Yeah, I was thinking we're making a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah.
The Patriots have good depth along their O-line and skill positions and are getting solid play out of fringe starters along the offensive line, but any and all plus starters that could have been interest to Mike Vrabel. I understand passing on Myers, whose skill set is redundant with Diggs, but Shaheed would have brought a speed element to the Patriots offense, which is currently absent. Again, he doesn't play for the Titans or the Dolphins or the Jets, right?
No.
Oh, right. He played for the Saints?
Yep.
So there's no impediment to trading for him?
Don't think so.
I'm sure more trade deadline dirt will get kicked up now that the hour has passed. Maybe the price to trade for Chris Olave was exorbitant, and the Patriots are forgiven for standing still. But a legitimate AFC playoff push is in the cards for this team, and if it runs out of gas between here and the Super Bowl, I'm confident it will be because it lacks the requisite offensive firepower around Drake May to hang with the big dogs in the conference. Is that where you think they were lacking offensive firepower?
I want an offensive player, yeah. I thought a running back would have been huge for this team, and I think depending on the severity of the booty injury, you could talk yourself into a wide receiver. But if they really feel like that's a one-week injury, I think they might have enough receiver-wise. But I thought running back was obvious. I think they went into the year, and you thought that that might be the strongest position group, and it quickly turned into the weakest position group. You remove one player due to injury. Now, Stevenson's dealing with an injury and also has his fumble issues. And then Henderson's had like one good game. So if they added somebody, and you know what? Maybe I keep mentioning Breece Hall, but maybe like Tony Pollard. Like if you added somebody to that backfield, I think it would have been huge. It would have given like, it would have made Drake May's job easier. It would have made the other running backs' jobs easier, or Josh McDaniel's job easier. I thought that was the biggest miss.
Graziano and Fowler had like a whole trade deadline buzzy write-up, like what they heard and this and that. There wasn't much in there on the Patriots. There was one line about Stevenson, though. Graziano said, the Patriots don't know when Stevenson will be back from his toe injury.
Nice.
But they didn't go out and get a running back at the deadline. They like what they saw out of Jennings and Henderson, blah, blah, blah. They don't know when he's going to be back.
Nope.
So I don't know. I don't know if that's like a report, quote unquote, like, or maybe he just kind of wrote it loosely.
Right.
But that jumped out to me. So running back is a need, and you're not the only one who feels that way. Keith, how about Mark in Medford? Go ahead, Mark.
Yep. Hey, what's up, guys? I do have a trade deadline comment and a Bruins comment for when you guys get to it.
Okay.
First off, Kansas City actually did try to make a significant move. They offered a trade to the Jets for Breece Hall, but the Jets turned it down because they wanted nothing less than a third round pick.
So what?
And Kansas City what did, the gold
what did Kansas
pick.
City what did Kansas City offer? A fourth?
I don't know. I don't know what they offered, but the Jets would set up for nothing less than a third round pick.
Okay.
And
well, look,
and
Mark. So Mark, I want to get to your Bruins point in a moment, but I don't want to give Kansas City credit for being in on a player and rip the Patriots for on Jalen Phillips.
They should have got him too.
Are they the interest kings? Like, did they close the deal? So I'm not going to give the Chiefs credit for that. What's your Bruins point?
My Bruins point is it me or is it finally looking like that they're all on the same page now as far as buying into the system with Marco Sturm?
Okay.
I don't know. The Sterminator, man. Things are looking up for the Bees.
Keith.
I know.
I mean.
Bees look good.
Swayman's won two starts in a row.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if he was great last night. The third goal he gave up was brutal, but he was good in the shootout. He's won two in a row. Our guy Corpy won two before that.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. Sturm's pushing the right buttons with the goalie. They've won four in a row. They've won five out of six. They've been real streaky this year.
Sure.
Real streaky.
It could turn on a dime, but right now, ride that wave.
I mean,
they're playing well.
Give them credit. The Islanders aren't good, but I didn't necessarily think they were going to win last night. I certainly didn't see him winning four in a row and five out of six.
But I give him credit. He benched Mason Lowry, and he hasn't gone back to him. He's kept his defensive pairs out there, and then he even went back-to-back Korpisalo because he was feeling it, didn't feel the pressure to go back to Swayman. So, and then when he did go back to Swayman, at least he played well too. So, yeah, I mean, Sturm's got him playing well. You can't argue with that.
Let's get to the Bees. They're winning. I don't know if that's best for their long-term outlook. Could they maybe sneak into the postseason? Are they messing up, gagging for Gavin? Let's get to that with all your phone calls coming up now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Next.
Bruins make it four in a row. Look out.
Five out of six.
I know.
They are 8-7 on the year, Keith. Winning record all of a sudden. Courtesy of this latest win streak. And don't look now, but if the season ended today,
yeah,
the Bruins would have played many more games than most of the Eastern Conference. But
games out of hand.
But
yeah,
they would be comfortably in a playoff spot. Actually, the number three seed in the Atlantic Division, not even in.
Shut your mouth.
Wild card position, 16 points more than Toronto and Philly.
They're on a heater.
Both with 15 as the top two wild cards.
They're on a heater, and I'll tell you what, you got to give them credit because even in this stretch where they've won 5 out of 6, Colorado and Carolina are both in there.
Good wins.
Those are really good teams, and then, you know, Islanders twice and Buffalo, but after that 6-game losing streak, it was looking pretty bleak. Like, they were mess of a team. They couldn't defend. They weren't scoring. And then you were like, this is going to be a long
season. You wanted
season.
Him to tank. And I wanted
gagging
him
for Gavin.
You wanted him to tank. I wanted to fire the coach. I mean, that's how bad the 6-game win streak was.
Things turn around, though.
Yeah.
We'll give them credit when they're playing well. And right now they're playing well. I also like how, you know, they'll drop the gloves. They'll get in a little bit of a
They'll give you a face wash.
They'll rough you up a little bit. But I think part of it is, like, they have very little expectations. I think they can kind of play, like, loose. Like, there's got to be no pressure on them, really. Now, you don't want to like, go on, like, this awful dive where you're this horrible team and everybody, like, nationally starts, like, looking at you like you're a terrible team. But, you know, say, like, I don't think the expectation is all that high. And you got a lot of guys that are playing hard. Because even during the losing streak, my thought was they're not, like, not playing hard. They're just not super talented.
They were down in some of those games and came back.
Yeah, yeah.
Which did speak to their effort level. That is,
like,
fair.
I think that's been pretty good. So, like, even though Sturm doesn't, you know, you're not trying to run through a wall for Marco Sturm based on how he just stands there quietly.
Yeah, he doesn't do it.
However, unless, I don't think that's reflected on the way the team plays. Like, they play hard.
I think in retrospect.
Morning, good afternoon. I don't know what's going on anymore.
I think in retrospect, this is fair.
Yeah.
To say even during the losing streak, they were playing hard for him and he was getting effort. I think that's fair
and
to say.
And you're like, look at the roster. They got like two. I talked them up to 3.5 good players.
Yep.
And one of them was Swayman, and I was kind of back and forth with him. Geeky was the half.
Is Who's Nuts on there?
Who's Nuts? Probably Clutch.
Clutch.
Maybe Clutch.
Clutch Nuts.
Sure.
So. No, but I mean, he's their top line center right now.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, injuries. But he's on their top line with Elias Lindholm out. That's where he started the game last night. He was playing a Pastrnak late.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, that is a not talented team if he's playing on your top line. Like a bottom six, fourth line type of player.
And maybe I got to give more credit to Hampus Lindholm, who I feel like when he's been on the Bruins, he is like highs and lows with him. Like, there are times where you're like, oh, this guy's like legit. And then other times you're like, what? And I feel like when he returned, whatever game that was, and Marco Sturm was like so excited he wanted to kiss him on the mouth, you're like, wow, this guy is super important to what they're doing. And like Sturm felt that way. And he's like, we need this guy because the depth defensively, it can turn into a little bit of a house of cards. So he's like, obviously McAvoy is the name. McAvoy is the better all-around player. But, like, if Hampus Lindholm is your clear-cut second-best defenseman and getting a ton of ice time, like, that changes what they are.
So they've won 4 in a row. They won 5 out of 6. They're in playoff position. Though, again, that's exceptionally misleading.
When you look
at the rest of the standings, like, you look at the wild card spot. The Bruins are 16 points in 15 games. Like, the Florida Panthers could pass them, and right now Florida is the last place team in the conference, 13 points in 13 games. If they play two more games, they could blow past the Bruins if they win them both. Never mind a team like Columbus that is just outside the playoff picture. They've only played 12 and only have two fewer points.
Yeah, so, yeah. No, that's got to work itself out. But
the Bruins' playoff position is very misleading, but they are playing well over this stretch. Are you willing to put hashtag gagging for Gavin? It's just about to catch on, Keith. It's so close to catching on.
People are all over it. They're using the graphic everywhere.
Are you willing to put that on hiatus, or are you still there and actually angry they're winning games?
No, I'm not angry they're winning games. I just feel like, yeah, maybe we have to hit pause. I think we have to hit pause on the gagging for Gavin movement. Now, there is a long way to go. So, you know, we can update this again in a couple of weeks. You know, they got Ottawa, Toronto, Toronto, Ottawa. The next 4 games, and then let's see where
Ottawa,
they're at.
Ottawa, Toronto, Toronto, Ottawa?
Yeah.
Huh.
Bizarre little twist there.
Okay.
And then Montreal. So it's all Canadian flavor for the next 5 games.
Look out, Canada.
So
expect to hear from Curly in Boston.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Expect to hear from him in short order. Are they good? Oh, yeah, they're winning the division.
Montreal's good right now.
Yeah, okay. Well, I expect to hear from him. Yeah.
We'll get a call. He's like, oh, you guys you wanted to win that game? Like, not really.
Yeah. We got the World Series to throw right this
We're watching Keith. Penn State hockey right now.
We got the World Series to throw in
his
face.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, keep that in our back pocket.
He doesn't care. It's Toronto. It's probably another rival city.
I guess.
I guess.
They invented the game up there.
Four Nations.
Yeah.
So I will say we should pause the Gaggin for Gavin movement. They're above 500. So it's a little silly to be rooting for losses when you have a winning record. But I also think we have another right to revisit it one more time. Like the end of this calendar month, tell me where they're at. Right? Don't you think? Right around like Thanksgiving?
I think we revisit it whenever we want, but you're just giving ourselves that window, just the end of the month? That's the last time we can revisit?
Well, another team that we're going to be talking about today is the Celtics. Yep. And we asked the question before both seasons began, like what these teams should do. And I was like, the Celtics shouldn't tank. But I did say, let me see what the first 10, 15 games look like, right? Like, I didn't think it was going to be as bad as it is, but I was like, let me see before I fully commit to it.
Right now, the Bruins are in playoff position. The Celtics are not.
The Bruins are better in their sport than the Celtics are in their sport right now.
Only three teams in the East have a worse record than the Celtics. A worse record. They are matched with Charlotte.
Eeks.
Indiana's 1-6. Washington, who I think they play tonight, right, is 1-6. Brooklyn's 0-7.
0-7?
There's only three teams worse than the Celtics.
Nets are still looking for that first dub. They said the first dub, the toughest to come by.
It was Cat Stevens, I think. Yeah. But in the East, there's only three teams with the worst.
No, they're worse than the Bruins. I mean, if you want to even just compare the two right now. And also, entertainment factor. I always throw that in there as like a caveat, because like the wins and losses, you can just read that. But like on a night-to-night basis, watching the Bruins over the last four games has been way more enjoyable than watching the Celtics.
Well, and just... who's been worth your money more, going to a Bruins game or going to a Celtics game? Oh, the Bruins have been more bang for your
gloves,
buck.
They'll score a goal. They'll get down by two. They'll tie it up. They'll go to overtime.
They'll get down by two. They'll tie it up. They'll blow the game. Or maybe they'll mix in a win. But, like, yeah, they've been much more bang for your buck, worth your money, for sure.
Oh, way more.
All right, so let's ask it again. Who should tank, Keith? The Bruins, the Celtics, or both?
Well,
the Bruins. It's still the Bruins.
But could it also and be the Celtics? This is getting kind of bad.
It could be, but I'm not there yet. My answer remains the same.
The Jazz lost kind of.
The team that should tank is the Bruins. The Celtics should not tank.
Yeah.
So my answer is not both. Right now, I still have the same answer as I had a week ago, even knowing the Celtics have crapped their pants and the Bruins are playing well.
I'm in this weird middle ground right now where I think they're like.
Maybe you can't pause. The game is right now.
There's a game?
Bruins, Celtics, or both. Who should tank? Or neither.
Sweeney will screw up the pick anyway.
Well, that's a different conversation.
He can't screw up gagging for Gavin. You can't screw that up.
He can do anything.
No, you can't screw up number one. I disagree with that. Like, that's a reason to tank. If you think Sweeney sucks at drafting, then you don't want him picking 6, 7, 8. You want to tank to get number one because Gavin, even he can't screw that up.
All right. Is it too bold to say both at this point?
No.
The Celtics have really...
So they both should tank?
Yeah. Well, the Bruins are, I mean, but I'm positive the Bruins. I'm not tweeting out the graphic anymore. The Bruins are playing well, but I'm not like sold that they're going to be fine. They're going to be this good team.
So you now want them both to tank.
I think the Celtics are worse than the Bruins. So if I think the Bruins should, yeah.
Wow.
I'm all twisted around. Like a pretzel.
quite a shift. We'll
ask Terp about it. I'm sure Terp will say no, but at the same time, it's been a worse nine-game start.
If they lose Terp, they're in trouble. So that's all I know. But we will talk to Terp at high noon, Pure Hoops with Terp, every Wednesday here on Jones and Keith. There's some Bruins chatter for you at 617-779-7937. They're playing well. Is that screwing up the tank job that we thought was going to be going on for the Bees? We have the hashtag Dork Minute 1 hour from now at 11:45. Stay tuned. We have Would You Rather Wednesday coming up a little over a half an hour from now at 11:30. We'll do some Would You Rathers. And on the way next, the Red Sox offseason all of a sudden getting very, very interesting. Do they have something big up their sleeves? I think they might, based on some news yesterday. I will explain next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.